Golden State Media Concepts bring you Book Review Podcast, a haven for bookworms of all ages and the widest genres, from mystery to memoirs, romance to comedy, fantasy to sci-fi. If you love to read, this is the podcast for you. It's the Golden State Media Concepts Book Review Podcast.
Welcome to the GSMC Book Review Podcast, brought to you by the GSMC Podcast Network. I am your host, Sarah, and I am happy to welcome you to this episode about dragons. Now, I've said a couple times that I'm going to do an episode on dragons, and then, you know, didn't get to it that first time. And now this week, I discovered that January 16th is Appreciate a Dragon Day. I probably knew this from last year, but I didn't remember it this time. So I was like, it's just clearly this episode is meant to be. I was meant to do a dragon-related episode this week and not last week when I said I was going to do it originally. So yeah, there you go. The internet and fate clearly have my back on the dragon episode. Would have been better if I'd done it on the 16th, but I didn't. So just work with me here, okay? Now, normally on Appreciate a Dragon Day, I would just take that as an opportunity to post pictures of my own bearded dragons. If you're wondering why there's an Appreciate a Dragon Day, well, every day of the year has numerous different holidays. I mean, if you go online and you can find different calendars that show you all of the holidays that you can celebrate every day of the year, and every day has numerous holidays. I mean, obviously there are the big ones that most of us know, the religious holidays, the secular holidays, the, you know, like the President's Day, those types of things. But, you know, then there's Appreciate a Dragon Day, and there's, you know, there's Take Your Dog to Work Day, and there's so many, you have no idea. Everything from beer to balloons to, I can't even think of anything. It should be more alliteration, right? But yeah, I mean, everything almost has a day. Pretty much you can create a holiday for anything. Doesn't mean we get the day off, but so January 16th is Appreciate a Dragon Day. I don't know why it's January 16th. It just says, the one thing I'm looking at says that the dragon is a powerful symbol in mythology all over the world, from Europe to Asia and beyond. So Appreciate a Dragon Day encourages you to explore the cultural significance of the dragon in your society and history. In my case, when I talk about dragons, I'm talking about our bearded dragons, which technically are my husband's, but I think I spend more time with them, which maybe sounds weird. If you've never spent time with a bearded dragon, they're actually quite cuddly. I had no idea. He had iguanas before we got together, and I said, something that gets to be that big and just crawls around the house, I can't deal with. But I will compromise and go with bearded dragons, and we started out with two, and now we have three, and I love them. They're so sweet and silly, and actually cuddly. I often cuddle with them, and my husband named them after Pokemon characters. So we started out with Squirtle and Charmander, and then we got Bulbasaur about a year and a half later, so we now have three. Three dragons, two chihuahuas, and that is our family. So I'm a weird pet mom anyway, but now I'm also a weird dragon mom because I like to say that I am mother of dragons. Yeah, and we have three, so it's appropriate. Although, yeah, other things happen with dragons, and I don't want to talk about it in terms of Game of Thrones because spoilers and whatever. But yes, I do call myself mother of dragons, and I don't think my mother appreciates when I tell her she's grandmother of dragons. She's not a pet person, and I really don't think she appreciates being grandmother of dragons. Sorry, Mom. Love you. Any hoodle. When I started thinking about dragons, I started thinking about books. I mean, dragons are in a billion trillion books out there, right? If you're a fan of fantasy, you have encountered dragons in your books. One of my favorite, it is a book, but I was introduced to it first by the movie that my mom had on VHS when I was younger, and that is The Reluctant Dragon. And I love that story. I love that movie. Obviously, they took some liberties with the movie, as they often do. But the dragon doesn't want to fight. The dragon doesn't want to, they get a knight to slay the dragon. But the dragon doesn't even want to fight. He wants to dance and have picnics and write poetry. And he writes really bad poetry, and so does the knight. And I love that. I mean, there's a whole poem about an upside-down cake that I often quote in very melodramatic form. And the knight and the dragon dance, and they go through this whole elaborate charade to make it seem as though the knight has subdued the dragon, not slain the dragon, but subdued the dragon so that he can live in peace and harmony with the villagers. And the book actually was written, it's older than I thought it was. It is written by Kenneth Graham, who also wrote The Wind in the Willows, did not know that, and who illustrated... Ernest H. Shepherd is the illustrator of the Reluctant Dragon. He illustrated Winnie the Pooh. And this was written in, this was the 75th anniversary in 2013. It has been continuously in print since 1938. And a kind young boy befriends a poetry-loving dragon in the downs above his home. When the town folk send for St. George to slay the dragon, the boy must come up with a clever plan to save his friend and convince the town folk to accept him. So, you know, the movie got it partially right and partially wrong. I now feel like I need to, I read as much as I could when I looked at this on Amazon, but now I definitely need to check it out of the library and read it for myself, because I'm sure it is delightful. Another children's book that I had heard of but hadn't read yet is Dragons Love Tacos. And a few weeks ago, one of our other show hosts, Heidi, she hosts several shows, health and wellness, weird news, social media news, and something else. It'll come to me. But she hosts four of our shows, and you should definitely check those out because she's awesome. She and Ariane host those. And she said that her favorite children's book is Dragons Love Tacos. And I was like, I've heard of that book, but I haven't read it. So I went to the library and discovered, of course, there is Dragons Love Tacos and Dragons Love Tacos 2. These are children's books by Adam Rubin, and Daniel Salmieri. And it turns out that dragons love tacos. They love chicken tacos, beef tacos, great big tacos, and teeny tiny tacos. So if you want to lure a bunch of dragons to your party, you should definitely serve tacos. Buckets and buckets of tacos. Unfortunately, where there are tacos, there is also salsa. And if a dragon accidentally eats spicy salsa, oh boy, you are in red hot trouble. So yeah, dragons love tacos, but you cannot give them salsa. So of course, you know, in this book, the dragons are going to get some salsa, right? And dragons breathe fire, and when they eat spicy salsa, then they breathe really, really, really crazy fire, and just things go badly. Dragons Love Tacos 2. I love that they just named it Dragons Love Tacos 2. They didn't even really try to, it's Dragons Love Tacos 2, the sequel. And, in this one, it's been discovered that there are no more tacos left anywhere in the world. And this is a huge problem because, as you know, dragons love tacos. If only there was a way for the dragons to travel back in time to before tacos went extinct, then they could grab lots of tacos and bring them back. Yeah, you know that this plan is not going to go that well. First of all, they have to figure out how to travel in time, right? Well, they figure that out, but then all kinds of things happen to make this trip not go so well. There are many oopses that happen in, well, both of these books, because first, in the first book, of course, there is spicy salsa, and then in the second book, when they're trying to go back in time, and the kid in the first book who had the taco party for the dragons is going back in time with the dragons, and they're trying to figure this out so that they can bring tacos back from extinction, because what is a world without tacos? Dragons love tacos. So if you haven't read these books, they really are adorable. They're children's books, so they don't take very long to read. They are quick, they are cute, they are colorful, and if you have children, you should definitely read them with your children, or have your children read them to you, because as I said, they are adorable, and they are about dragons, and I love dragons. I love my bearded dragons. I love mythical dragons. Well, I probably don't actually love mythical dragons, you know, like the scary, big, huge, fire-breathing, mean dragons. But I love the mythical, like, reluctant dragons or taco-eating dragons or that type of dragon. I am very fond of dragons that are kind. I can't believe I just said that sentence. I think it's time to take a break. So when we come back, we're going to be talking more about books that involve dragons. So stay tuned. You're listening to the GSMC Book Review Podcast, and I will be right back.
Want to know the latest and hottest music hitting the airwaves? Don't be left out. Listen to the Golden State Media Concepts Music Podcast. Keith keeps you on the loop with everything you need to know from pop, rock, hip-hop, and the top 40. And we'll throw in news of your favorite artists, concert and tour dates, and so much more. Listen no further, because this is the Gold Standard in Music Podcast.
Welcome back to the GSMC Book Review Podcast. Today I am talking about dragons and books about dragons. Talked about some children's books before the break. And now I'm moving on to some young adult books that can also be enjoyed by adults. You know, hey, young is what you make of it. So young adult, doesn't matter if you're a 96-year-old adult, you can consider yourself a young adult if you want to. And I'm going to talk about The Inheritance Cycle by Christopher Paolini, starting with the book Aragon. Now, Aragon came out in 2003, so this series has been out for a while. If you've not read the books but you've seen the movie, don't hold the movie against the books. Read the books. You're book podcast listeners, so I'm going to guess that you probably are more book readers than movie watchers, or, you know, you do both, but If you've seen the movie does it the book absolutely zero justice. Hated the movie, did not like the movie whatsoever. It was even worse than I anticipated. So read the book. It's a four book series. Excuse me. Although a new one just came out, so even though the series has been out for a while, there's now a new book that is set in that same world. So if you have read the books and you've been anticipating a new one, then you should be excited. I was excited about the book because the author, first of all, he wrote the first book in his teens. Second of all, he's from Montana. You know, I'm always going to give a shout out to an author with Montana connections, and he grew up in the Bozeman area, or I don't remember if he grew up there or if he was just there when he wrote the books, but from the Bozeman area, and that just was like, yes, I definitely have to read these books because they were written by a young man, and he's from my home state, so shout out to Montana. The first book is called Aragon, and if you haven't read them, then here is a bit of an overview. 15-year-old Aragon believes that he is merely a poor farm boy until his destiny as a dragon rider is revealed. Gifted with only an ancient sword, a loyal dragon, and sage advice from an old storyteller, Aragon is soon swept into a dangerous tapestry of magic, glory, and power. Now his choices could save or destroy the empire. This has all the great classical elements of fantasy books. You know, you've got a sort of unassuming lead character who is just thinks he's a poor farm boy. Then his destiny is revealed to be something more. He comes into this dragon egg, and dragon eggs can stay in egg form until the dragon finds his or her dragon rider, and then the dragon will hatch. And this happens to Aragon. He's not supposed to find this egg, but he does, and it hatches, and his dragon is Saphira. She's blue, another reason that I love this dragon, because, of course, blue, my favorite color. So then Aragon and Saphira get sucked into these events that he never thought he would be sucked into, because, of course, there is an evil overlord who has kidnapped the remaining dragon eggs, or most of the dragons have actually been killed, and the evil overlord I don't remember his name or what his actual title is, but he has he had been a dragon rider, went bad. His dragon was killed, I believe, and that kind of sent him over the edge. So he stole a dragon. It didn't hatch for him, but he kind of twisted it to his will. You know, not a nice guy, but now he's taken over the empire and he's continuing to be not a nice guy. So Aragorn and other characters, of course, have to go on this adventure. And it's a 4-book series. So if you are a fan of fantasy, if you're a fan of young adult fantasy, if you are a fan of fantasy with dragons, then you should definitely check this out. And now there is this new book that just came out the end of December. It's called The Fork, the Witch, and the Worm, Tales from Alagasia. Alagasia is the land that Paolini created for the Aragorn series. That's called, again, the Inheritance Cycle, in case you weren't remembering that. And the description here is a wanderer and a cursed child, spells and magic and dragons, of course. Welcome back to the world of Alagasia. It's been a year since Aragorn departed Alagasia in search of the perfect home to train a new generation of dragon riders. I should have given you should have said spoilers. Didn't even think about that, but sorry about that. Now he's struggling with an endless sea of tasks, constructing a vast dragon hold, wrangling with suppliers, guarding dragon eggs, and dealing with belligerent Urgles and haughty elves. Then a vision from the Eldunari, unexpected visitors, and an exciting Urgle legend offer a much-needed distraction and a new perspective. This volume features 3 original stories set in Alagasia, interspersed with scenes from Aragorn's own unfolding adventure. Included is an excerpt from the memoir of the unforgettable witch and fortune-teller Angela the Herbalist, penned by Angela Paolini, the inspiration for the character, herself. Relish the incomparable imagination of Christopher Paolini in this thrilling new collection of stories based in the world of the Inheritance Cycle. Includes 4 new pieces of original art by the author. That's the other thing. So not only did he start writing young, but he does artwork for these. I think he did all of the book covers, and he's a very talented young man. He's no longer a teenager, but he's, you know, certainly not 96. He is a very talented young man. So if you are a fan of fantasy, as I said, if you're a fan of young adult fantasy, if you're interested in dragons, then you should definitely check out the Inheritance Cycle. They are lengthy. I don't know that any of them are shorter than 500 pages. I could be remembering that wrong, although I remember him joking that this new book is proof that he can write a book that is under 500 pages. If this new book is, let's see, I don't know how many pages it is, but I need to put it on my to-be-read list. My mother, actually, when I talked to her the other day, was reading it, and I wanted to reach through. We were FaceTiming, and I wanted to reach through and grab it from her, but it just doesn't work that way, so whatever, fine. I cannot find the page. 288 pages. So, yeah, he can write under 300 pages in this case. So, hey, go, dude. Good job. What are your favorite dragon books? Are you a fan of dragon books? What do you like to read? If you're a fan of fantasy, what are your favorite fantasy books? Do you like contemporary fantasy? Do you like high fantasy? This is a high fantasy series, you know, a completely made up world. There are elves, there are dragons, there are Urgles, which are kind of not really orcs, but think kind of in the orc category. There are, I think there are dwarves, if I'm remembering correctly. And it's been a while since I finished reading them. I still have all of them upstairs on my bookshelf. And yes, so one of the things that I like about this, of course, is that it is a young person who doesn't think he has any special gifts and then finds himself thrown into situations where he has to, of course, he realizes he does have gifts and that he has a destiny he didn't realize, but there's rebuilding happening in this world. So they think that most of the dragons are gone. They do come across a couple of other dragons. So you get to learn some of the dragon lore. You get to learn these dragons communicate with their dragon riders through a telepathic connection. They're different colors. They are beautiful and sassy. And they each have their own personality. So, you know, they're not just like dumb beasts who just breathe fire and eat princesses and sheep. I do believe they, if I'm remembering correctly, they do eat sheep, but I don't remember any of the dragons eating a princess in this book. So no dragons eat princesses, but they do eat sheep because they are carnivores. So if you really like sheep and don't want to see them eaten by dragons, maybe this isn't the book for you. But, you know, if you are a fantasy reader and if you like dragons, you probably are going into this with your eyes open and know that that happens. So, hey, anybody out there read a book about a vegetarian dragon? I should look that up and see if there's a book about a vegetarian dragon. And if so, why? Why is the dragon vegetarian and what does it eat? I'm going to look that up during the break. So we are going to take our second break of the podcast. When we come back, hey, we're going to talk about some more books with dragons in them. So stay tuned. You're listening to the GSMC Book Review Podcast, and I will be right back.
Tired of searching the vast jungle of podcasts? Now listen close and hear this out. There's a podcast network that covers just about everything that you've been searching.
Hey!
The Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network is here. Nothing less than a podcast bliss with endless hours of podcast coverage. From news, sports, music, fashion, cooking, entertainment, fantasy, football, and so much more. So stop lurking around and go straight out to the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. Guaranteed to fill that podcast itch. Whatever it may be, visit us at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter, and download us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Google Play.
Welcome back to the GSMC Book Review Podcast on this episode about dragons. And it turns out that there is at least one book in the world about a vegetarian dragon. His name is Herb, and he is the vegetarian dragon. It's called Herb the Vegetarian Dragon, and it is by Jules Bass and Debbie Harder. The author is Jules Bass, and the illustrator, is Debbie Harder. And all of the dragons in the Forest of Nogard like nothing better than raiding Castle Dark and carrying off princesses to eat. All the dragons, that is, except one. Herb is at his happiest, tending his vegetable patch, for Herb is a vegetarian. So it is unfortunate that he is the one captured by the castle's knights in armor. Treacherous Meat Hook and his dragon cronies will only help Herb if he agrees to eat meat. Will he give in to their blackmail? Jules Bass's lighthearted story combines with Debbie Harder's jaunty illustrations to make this a hilarious picture book that also offers young readers plenty of food for thought. I haven't even read this book yet, and I already feel bad for Herb. I mean, he just wants to tend his vegetables, and then he gets kidnapped or, you know, taken by knights, and then he's blackmailed by his own kind because they say he has to eat meat. And this is very colorful. I'm looking at some of the pictures now, and the illustrations are really bright and engaging. And first off, the other dragons should not be raiding Castle Dark to steal princesses, because I think princesses would give you indigestion. Herb probably has a better diet anyway. So I am going to see if my library has this book because it looks adorable. And I will get back to you and tell you if I enjoyed Herb the Vegetarian Dragon. I love that somebody wrote a book about a vegetarian dragon. Of course, it's a children's book. So if you read it, let me know. I would love to hear from you. And tell me what you think, how you heard of it. Did you just come across it? Did you, like I just randomly type in vegetarian dragon? Because hey, we Google all sorts of weird things, right? This came out on July 12th, 2007, at least the paperback edition did. So it's been out for a while, and probably many of you have read it. I have not. All right, so we've talked about children's books, and then we moved on to The Inheritance Cycle, the first of which is Aragon by Christopher Paolini. That is young adult fantasy. And then I wanted to also do more of an adult dragon book. And I thought of the Drakon, how do you say that word? D-R-A-K-O-N. Drakon? Drakon? It's like dragon, but it's fancier. I don't know. Anyway, Shanna Abay, and I'm probably mispronouncing her name as well. Shanna, S-H-A-N-A, Abay, A-B-E, with an accent over the E. So I'm guessing it's Abay. She has the Draken series, D-R-A-K-O-N. Hey, it's the spelling segment of the GSMC Book Review Podcast. And the first one in this series is called The Smoke Thief. I can't remember how I came across these. Probably just stumbled across them in the library once. I do like to wander the shelves, the stacks in the library, and literally judge books by their covers sometimes. Sometimes I just like to walk up and down the stacks and then see what catches my eye and why. And that might have happened here. I really don't remember if somebody recommended them, but there are 5 books in this series. I believe the series is done. There hasn't been one for a while that I'm aware of. I was looking on Amazon and didn't see one past 5. So if you know more than I do, as always, let me know. You are here to correct me when I am incorrect. So the description of the first one is, and again, that's The Smoke Thief. For centuries, they've lived in secret among northern England's green and misted hills. Creatures of extraordinary beauty, power, and sensuality, they possess the ability to shapeshift from human to dragon and back again. I'm going to cut in here and say maybe that's where the dragon comes from. I could be wrong. I could be remembering that incorrectly, that the shapeshifter, the human to dragon, maybe those are the drakens. Yeah, I think that might be it. Anyway, now their secret and their survival is threatened by a temptation that will break every boundary. Dubbed the Smoke Thief, a daring jewel thief is confounding the London police. His wealthy victims claim the master burglar can walk through walls and vanish into thin air. But Christoph, the charismatic Marquess of Langford, knows the truth. The thief is no ordinary human, but a runner who's fled Darkfirth without permission. As alpha leader of the Draken, it's Kit's duty to capture the fugitive before the secrets of the tribe are revealed to mortals. But not even Kit suspects that the Smoke Thief could be a woman. Sexist Kit. Clarissa Rue Hawthorne knew her dangerous exploits would attract the attention of the Draken, but she didn't expect Christoph himself to come to London, dangling the tribe's most valuable jewel, the Langford Diamond, as bait. For as long as she could remember, Rue had lived the life of a halfling, half Draken, half mortal, and an outcast in both worlds. She'd always loved the handsome and willful Kit from the only place it was safe, from afar. But now she was no longer the shy, timid girl she'd once been. She was the first woman capable of making the turn in 4 generations. So why did she still feel the same dizzying sense of vulnerability whenever he was near? From the moment he saw her, Kit knew that the alluring and powerful beauty was every bit his alpha equal and destined to be his bride. And by the harsh laws of the Draken, Rue knew that she was the property of the Marquess. But they will risk banishment and worse for a chance at something greater. For now, Rue is his prisoner. The diamond has disappeared, and she's made the kind of dangerous proposition a man like Kit cannot resist. In this bewitching novel, Shanna Abay transports us into a world of exhilarating romance and magic. So there you go. That is a lengthy description. I like that. So you've got this shape-shifting tribe of Dracones, I'm sorry, I don't know how you pronounce that word. And as with any good story, there's issues. You know, it says that Rue is the first woman to be able to turn, meaning she can shapeshift from dragon to human in 4 generations. They're having trouble with their women being able to turn. There's all sorts of other issues with that. So not only do they have to live in secret, but there's some issues going on with their genetics and things that have to be figured out. So now their secrecy is threatened and shenanigans ensue. Of course, Kit has to go and find Clarissa, or Rue as she is known, and then there's romance. There's a little bit of that, like, I am alpha and I can claim you. I don't remember it as being too horrible. I think there is consent in there, if I'm remembering correctly. It's been a while since I read it. But yeah, it does have that fated mate theme. So if that's something that bugs you, then maybe you don't want to go here. If you are a fan of books like this where you have shapeshifters and shapeshifter sex, I'm just going to say it, then go ahead. If that's not your thing, then also avoid this series because, you know, I've read books where it's done really well and I didn't remember having like a moment in these. But I've also read books where I did have that moment where the shapeshifting happened and I was like, my brain just broke. So if I'm remembering correctly, I didn't have a moment where, I couldn't quite make my brain wrap around what was happening in terms of the shifting and the intimate relations, we'll say, and how all of that physically was happening. So, if that bugs you, don't read these books. But if you are a fan of adult fantasy, of romantic fantasy, of dragons or dracones or whatever they're called, then you may want to give this a shot and see what you think. Like I said, there's five books in this series, all of them interrelated, so you get to kind of see the community as and what's going on in the community as they're trying to figure out how to address the issues that are going on genetically and living in secret, etc. So, three different kind of layers or levels, reading levels of dragon books. There's a million more, probably a million trillion, as I said before. If you have a favorite one, I would love to hear from you. Please tell me what your favorite dragon books are, whether they are children's books or adult books. We've had Cynthia Diamond on the podcast. She is the author of the Weird Love series. And she was here to talk about the fourth book in that series, Alchemies. Oh no, I'm so sorry. I just blanked on the word, on the title. I can picture the cover. Main characters are Tony and Faith. Alchemies. Anyway, Cynthia Diamond. The first book in her Weird Love series is the first of three about the Constance sisters, and it's called Siren's Song. Adele is the siren. She falls in love with Jack, who just happens to be a dragon who can be in human form. So again, you've got shapeshifting and dragons. And yeah, I just wanted to bring that up since we have had Cynthia on the podcast, and I did talk about Siren's Song after I read it a while back. Off the top of my head, I don't remember which episode that was, but you can find it if you want to listen to it, and you should definitely check out Cynthia's series, Weird Love. She's got a new one that just came out, which is on my to-be-read list. I'm hoping to get to that soon so that I can tell you about it, and I'm still trying to catch up. I have read the first two and the fourth. I still need to read the third and the fifth. I'll get to them, I promise, and I will tell you about them. So I think that's probably enough about dragons and dracones. I'm going to say dracone, like draconian, but I don't think that's right. I'm going to stop. Okay, so thank you so much for joining me for this episode of Dragons. I love dragons. I love my bearded dragons, and I love reading about dragons, so it's all good. I hope you will join me again on Tuesday when I will be speaking with Marie Lavender, who is also a writer of fantasy and, you know, paranormal romance. So there's some telepathies. There's some, not telepathies, telepathy. There's some vampires. There's some shapeshifters. There's all kinds of things in this book that we are going to be talking with Marie about. So tune in on Tuesday for that. Again, it's Marie Lavender, and we'll be talking about her book Blood Instincts, which is number 2 in the series. I will double check the name of that series and let you know when I do that episode on Tuesday. So have a great weekend and join me again on Tuesday. In the meantime, whether it's about dragons or not, go out there and get yourself lost in a good book. Thanks.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Book Review Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. From movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.